We're going to talk about gadgets and technology now, because Fevzi Turkalp, editor of Gadget Detective, joins us, the tech expert. We're going to be having a look at some recommended gadgets and some best buys. And Fevzi, you've been having a look at various gadgets that you say will make our digital lives better. So what have you been thinking about?
So I tried to pick out some best of breed gadgets that would make our digital lives better. I mean, we all rely on technology, on our gadgets every day, our phones, our laptops, our tablets. But my experience is that most of us have gadgets that work just about well enough, and certainly not optimally. We get them working after a fashion, and then we get on with our busy lives. And that's fine, but over time, it can cost us time, money, comfort. We can lose, you know, we haven't backed up things. We can lose irreplaceable memories. It can even affect our health. So the gadgets I've chosen now are all about getting the most out of what we already have to try and make our gadget and digital lives smoother, safer, more efficient, better. So it's you know, and I often find this as well. You know the expression, the cobbler's children have no shoes.
Well, I don't, but I like it. That's a good one.
Yeah. So in my case, I spend a lot of time obviously helping other people get the most out of their technology, but my technology doesn't always work as well as it would do if I would just invest maybe even, you know, a couple of hours a week on it.
Yeah.
Just to make it better. Not necessarily buying new things, but just making things work better to get the most out of them, to make sure we understand. And this is also one of the reasons why it's not always a great idea to buy, you know, a new smartphone every year or something like that, because you're always on an even steeper learning curve than is necessitated by having, you know, software updates. So there's a lot we can do. And I just think that works well enough is not good enough, really. We should benefit from what these things can really do in our lives and have much, much smoother, happier lives.
Absolutely. Well, the first one you're going to look at is a mouse. And you think, well, there's not much you can do with a mouse. A mouse is a mouse. But actually, I don't think that's true. I mean, I've got a mouse in front of me now, which is a good one. But I find there are good ones and bad ones. There's issues about whether you have them wireless or wired in. And sometimes, sometimes it's easier to just have them wired in, really. And also, for example, when we're in a radio studio, we like to get unclicky mouse. Is it mouses or mice? I'm not sure, but
I say mice.
Okay.
Or rodents generally.
So this one, you can probably only just, I'm clicking it in the background. You probably can't hear it, but we used to have really loud ones. And if you're doing, even having a meeting on Zoom or something, you do not want a really loud click. So that's my view on mice. But tell us what you think.
Well, it's very important. So the mouse that I've chosen as a sort of exemplar is the Logitech MX Master 4, which is just out. And I've liked these MX Master mice for many years. I think my first one was a 2 and then a 2S. You talk about clicking. Let me just give you an example. This is a 2S.
Silent.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is a 4.
Which one's the loudest?
So probably it's just you can't pick it up, but it's fine.
They're both very quiet, I'd say, but maybe
not at this end. All right, let me put it to you this way. The 2S, my demonstration has failed. My 2S is a loud clicky mouse, even though it's a very high quality mouse. The 4 is almost silent. It's a very cushioned sound. But there's more to it than that. So first of all, ergonomics. I think this is my favorite mouse, and ergonomics to some extent are a matter of opinion. But for me, this is a comfortable mouse to use all day, the Master 4. It also has a new software that comes with it, which helps with productivity. They've introduced something called Action Rings. And Action Rings are context-sensitive menus that pop up. And they're context-sensitive for different apps. So in different apps, you get different connections, and you can put on this ring that appears on the screen all the things that you do commonly. So instead of having to, you know, drag drop or have some convoluted series of key presses, you can just reduce the number of shortcuts and clicks that you need and dragging and dropping that you need just by using these context menus. It also is more pleasurable to use where your thumb rests. Is for the first time a haptic feedback panel. So you'll be aware that your phone sometimes clicks and gives the sensation of a physical button being moved or something physically happening.
That's what we call haptic, is that right?
Yes. Yeah. And that's what this is. So this mouse has a haptic sense panel underneath the thumb. So as you sort of swipe the mouse over a window and you approach the edge of another window, so the window is a construct on a screen. It's not a physical thing, but here it becomes physical because you feel it. The scrolling wheel can do up to 1,000 lines a second because it uses a sort of magnetically coupled scrolling wheel, which is quite clever. You also mentioned about whether it's better to have wired or wireless. The general wisdom on this is if you're into gaming, and this is not a gaming mouse, then a wired connection is better because it shaves a few milliseconds off the response time. Yeah, so if you're fighting for your virtual life, then every millisecond counts. But this is interesting what Logitech have done. This is a Bluetooth mouse, and you can just use it as normal on a Bluetooth PC or Mac. In fact, you can also use it on Android and iPads and iPhones, and you can actually control three devices with it. With the one mouse, but this one also comes with a USB-C dongle called a Logi Bolt. Logi because it's Logitech, and Bolt as in I guess because it's fast. And what it does is it provides you with a wireless connection, which is far more reliable, far less flaky than Bluetooth can be. And that's, you know, really very important. And it allows you to connect all sorts of other Logitech devices like their MX keyboard, for example. So it comes in the box, and it's just a really good way of connecting. It's proprietary. Think of it as Bluetooth on steroids, right? It's a proprietary thing, so it does only work with Logitech things. But it's a very good use of a USB socket on your computer because it gives you, in my experience, a connection which is as reliable as a piece of wire.
Okay.
Without having to do that. So, all in all, this is not a cheap mouse, but I think it's worth the investment. This price is just under £120, so it's not cheap. If that's too much, I would just point out that its direct predecessor, the 3S, because this one's the 4, the 3S is selling for about half of that amount at the moment, and it's almost as good. It's got most of the benefits of the 4. It doesn't have the haptics, but that's not essential for everybody anyway. I've given it 4.5 stars out of 5. It is my favourite mouse.
All right, favourite mouse. Now, we're going to talk about power banks as well, which increasingly, and again, we better explain for the uninitiated, the power bank is a good idea for most people to carry around, I think, because your mobile phone is so vital now, and you can back up your phone with it. So I generally do have one in my bag, or if I'm going out for a long time, I'll usually put one in my pocket. And I think most people do have these things now. But there are power banks and power banks. So
they're not all created equal.
No,
this one is from Anker, which is A-N-K-E-R. Anker is a good brand. I mean, it's not the only brand in this space, but the reason I like Anker is it has the same quality in my experience as Apple and Samsung accessories, which are much more expensive. But it sits in the middle because it never ceases to amaze me that people will spend sometimes the better part of £1,000 on a tablet or a smartphone or a laptop, and then they'll literally spend a fiver on a charger or a charging bank, a power bank, you know, from a well-known auction site. And that's just not wise, because there's, even if the specs are genuine, and there is a question mark over that, you know, there is a practice. It's not just China that does it, but it's quite prevalent in China, where they will send a product for independent testing. It will pass the testing, and then they'll mass produce it using cheaper components.
Oh dear. Yeah.
And also a lot of the safety marks and things that we see on these sorts of devices, particularly ones that contain rechargeable batteries, lithium ion batteries, they're often self-certified, and that's legal. Well, I didn't even realize this till, some time ago, that a lot of these things you can just certify yourself. You can say, we've tested it and put the stamp on, and no one independent has necessarily verified that. So I think in terms of brands, it's worth paying for a brand that has got something to lose, and it's worth buying.
But are you thinking in terms of fire risk, by the way? I mean, chargers and power banks, you do hear of reports where people have left them in all day. They're not the official one. They're not a well-known brand, and they've caught fire.
Yeah, so fire risk is a real hazard. But it's not only fire risk. It's also to do with how smooth is the power that's coming out of them. Is it going to damage your £2,000 MacBook Pro or whatever it is?
Right.
So, you know, because they can spike, they can be out of the range that's required. They can cause the laptop itself to overheat and become damaged. So they can actually cause the thing being charged to be a fire risk as well under certain circumstances. So, you know, these are things, you know, both the chargers that you plug into the wall, or like this device, the this is called the Anker Laptop Power Bank, where it's got a battery in it. This is also important to get right. You know, I have one of these, I bought one of these. This is one I bought with my own money, and I have it in bed at night. I must admit, I'm bad. I have gadgets, you know, devices in the bed, tablets and smartphones, and you know, sometimes I'll pop them on charge. But as we say, they're not all the same. So there's the safety thing, and I trust the Anker brand. It is not that Anker products are always without problems. There have been recalls on them, but my argument is, at least there have been recalls on the no-name brands. You know, the ones where it's the same product and it appears under 50 different brands on Amazon. They don't necessarily recall the product. You just carry on using a dangerous product. I mean, Mercedes-Benz have recalls. The point is not that they never have problems. It's how they deal with the problems when they arise. But I would say that they're intrinsically safer in the first place. So important things about this power bank is it's not one that's size of a pack of playing cards. It's bigger than that. It has a capacity of 25,000 milliamp hours. That is essentially the maximum you can take on board a plane. So if you're traveling, this is really good. It can charge four devices at once. Three of those outputs can manage up to 100 watts of charging, although the overall limit is 165 watts. But that's also important. A lot of power banks that I see that have these high capacity, they're fine. But if you need to charge something that requires a high capacity, like a laptop, you don't want it to take 7 hours and barely stay ahead of the rate at which it depletes whilst you're using it. Something like this will charge as fast as any desktop charger would, you know, where you plug into the wall. So it can charge four devices at once. It can charge them quickly. One of the other bugbears is, and I'm terrible at this, I often borrow cables for other things. And then when I need to step out the house quickly, I've got the charger, I've got the power bank, but I don't have the cables handy.
Yeah, I've done that. And I have, on your advice actually, bought a power bank that's got the cable screwed into it already, because it's so easily done, isn't it?
Yeah, and this one has got two cables built into it. One of them is a retractable cable. I don't know if you're going to be able to hear this, but...
Oh, yeah.
So you can just retract it and extend it to pretty much whatever length you want. I think you get...
Oh, I see.
Looks like about 2 feet.
So it's like an elastated type thing. Pull out and go, right, got it.
Yep. And then the other one is actually the handle, and it's got just very thin. You just push the loop of the handle and it pops out, and you've got a cable that's about 12 inches long with a USB-C connector on it. So two of the four output ports on it already have a cable attached. And I've owned it for several months. It's shown no signs of wear yet. I'm sure at some point it will die, but my feeling is that the battery in the power bank will die at some point as well. So this is a It is essentially a consumable unit that will last you probably a few short years, depending on how much you use it. But because of the capacity, because of the rate at which it can charge, which is often not quoted on these devices, and because of the rate at which you can recharge it. So despite the fact it's 25,000 milliamp hours, you can charge it in about an hour. If you've got a sufficiently meaty charger, because that's also the other problem is that, I'm going out in half an hour and my power bank's dead. But it takes 4 hours
and then
to
you
charge
need the power bank to charge up the power bank.
You always have to charge up your power bank, but the question is, does it take 1 hour or does it take 4 or 6 hours?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Price wise, they're currently going for around £65. Again, I think it's money well spent. And it just makes sure that your devices don't run out of juice at critical moments, be it your laptop, your tablet or whatever. So that can save you time and money. And it can also mean that it's much more convenient to hold on to your existing device and not buy another one because they charge you an arm and a leg. The day was when you could just pop the back off a smartphone and pop in a spare battery and you'd carry a spare battery that was made for your smartphone. But you can't do that anymore unless you buy... I've forgotten the name of the phone. There is one, it'll come to me later.
Where it's got a replaceable battery.
Yeah, well, it's got replaceable everything.
Is it called a Fairphone or something?
Fairphone, thank you. thank you so much. So that's designed to be maintainable. And one of the things is you can literally pop the back off and pop in a new battery, either as a temporary measure or just to replace the battery. But things like the charging socket, you know how that often goes on a phone, the camera, the microphone, all of these modules can be just popped out and replaced. And also there's a version of the Fairphone called Murena, M-U-R-E-N-A. And in addition to having all those hardware benefits, it also runs a version of Android, which is de-Googled. And what I mean by that is it doesn't phone home in the way that Google does. You know, Google make money. They don't give away Android to manufacturers like Samsung and so forth out the goodness of their hearts. They do a deal that says, we will give you Android for free, but you will not disable any of the apps that we provide. And these apps will phone home and provide us with lots of information about your customers. And what Murena have done is they've essentially taken Android and chomped out all the bits of phone home. It's quite remarkable.
Clever idea. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there are some downsides to it because you have to use a different app store, but most of the things that you need are available in one form or another. And combined with the upgradability and serviceability of the device, I think it's huge. And they don't look like bricks. You know, back in the day, these sorts of modular phones were very chunky. This doesn't look like that. It looks like a good modern smartphone. I've tested the Fairphone 4. I think there's a new one on the way any day now, so I hope to be able to test that. But yeah, so but most of us don't have that facility, and we end up saying, am I going to spend the better part of £100 on getting Apple or whatever to put a battery in my phone? Or, is it time
for a new one? Yeah.
Is it time to put that £100 towards a new phone?
Exactly.
Not that it will get you that far, but with a device like this Anker it's called a laptop charger, but it will charge anything that does USB-C. Three USB-C sockets and one USB-A still for sort of backwards compatibility. And as I say, two of the four sockets have got built-in cables. 4.5 stars. As I say, I bought this with my own money, and I don't regret it.
Fevzi, thank you. Hold on there. Don't go away. We'll come back. We've got one more gadget to look at. Now, we're talking gadgets. Let's go back to Fevzi Turkalp, who's with us, and carry on our gadgets roundup. We were talking about backing up, Fevzi. So SSDs, explain what an SSD is and why people might want it.
Sure. So an SSD is a storage device for data. So back in the day, we used to use hard disk drives. Very few machines have hard disk drives in them. So a hard disk drive was a device encapsulated.
Followed up the floppy disks.
Well, they were also floppy disks. Yeah. So they're
a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So rotating disks. So the history of it is this, right? If we go back far enough, you had punch paper cards. Yeah, the sort of the things that would run player pianos, but also early computers. Even back in the 80s, there were punch paper cards, right? Then there was punch paper tape. Then there was magnetic tape, which could store the information on what looked like a reel-to-reel player, but was reading information that was stored much more densely. Then instead of having this sort of sequential access where you'd have to shuttle back and forth through the tape to find the bit that you wanted, someone came up with the idea of discs with an arm that would move across, a bit like being able to plonk down the needle on a record player on this track that you wanted. So the arm would move across and read the information and write the information that was wanted. And that was great. For many years, we had faster and faster discs. But then we got types of computer memory that have no moving parts, that can access the information far more quickly, are more robust because they have no moving parts, use less power because there are no moving parts. If you drop them, they will tend to survive for that reason. And in a laptop, because they're using less energy, they're producing less heat, which means not only they last longer, but they're quieter because it doesn't have to kick up the fans in the same way. So a solid state device, an SSD, does the job of a hard disk drive. It stores everything in a way that doesn't get forgotten when the device is powered down. So things like your operating system, your chosen software, your valued data is all stored on there, but in a way that it is much smaller. So this device is a portable SSD. So it's not designed to be inserted permanently inside the computer to upgrade it. It is attached, in this case, via USB-C, the very ubiquitous connector. It's called a Crucial X10 portable SSD. Crucial is a brand name from a company called Micron, and Micron are one of the biggest and most trusted manufacturers of memory products in the world. So when you open up, say, an Apple computer, you'll often find Micron storage chips built into it. So they are good. But when they come under the Crucial brand, they're still the same quality, but cheaper. So I like Crucial. Crucial for me is like Anchor. It's that sort of mid-price, but trustable. And these portable SSDs are tiny. They're like very thin, like a sliver of soap, and maybe less than 2 inches square, something like
right.
that.
Right, so smaller than a bar of soap.
Oh, much smaller than a bar. So yeah, when I say the thickness, it's about, I haven't measured it, but I think less than a centimeter thick. Okay.
Right, so you could easily slip it in your pocket.
Oh, the danger is how to make sure you don't lose it.
It's right. Small, you could have all of your data on that, could you? Lots of photographs and videos and stuff.
Yeah, so it's quite incredible. They've just increased the capacity range. So it starts at 1 terabyte, a terabyte being 1,000 gigabytes or 1,000,000 megabytes, right? So 1 terabyte, 2 terabytes, 4 terabytes, but now 6 and 8 terabytes. So I've tested the 8 terabytes. 8 terabytes is more data than I've produced in my life, I think. It stores all my music collection, my movie collection. It backs up my iPad, my smartphone, and my laptop. And it's great. I mean, so in what way does this improve your life? So I was thinking in terms of backups, okay? So we are increasingly reliant upon our devices. You know, we take hundreds and thousands of photographs. These devices can store not thousands, but hundreds of thousands of photographs on them if you want. So the fact that it's so capacious, or it can be, at 8 terabytes, I mean, it's a huge amount of storage for such a small thing. I mean, that's thousands of filing cabinets worth of data.
When you consider my first computer was, I think, 1 megabyte, and we were very excited that it was going to be 2, and eventually it was 2. And you're saying this is like an equivalent of 1,000,000.
Well, yeah, to give you an idea, right? So my first computer was a BBC Micro. It was 32K of RAM, didn't have a hard disk, had a tape recorder attached to it. Now showing my age. 32K. So if you multiply that by 1,000, that becomes 32 megabytes. Multiply it by 1,000 again, it becomes 32 gigabytes. So my desktop computer, which has got 32 gigabytes of RAM in it, has literally got 1,000,000 times more memory than it used to. And this is the trend. But with that increase in capacity of RAM, but also storage in our devices. So my tablet has 2 terabytes in it, and it's more than halfway full already. So the problem with that is backing it up. And what happens when you lose your device, or your device fails, or you're the victim of a ransomware attack? And we've seen in the news recently how much more common ransomware attacks are being, not only against businesses, but also individuals. It's very profitable. Your best protection against a ransomware attack is a backup, which is complete, up-to-date, and off-site. Okay, so you could have it on your body, you could put it in another location, you can give it to a trusted friend, you can encrypt the data on it. So, you know, just what I'd invite everyone to do, you know, after your show has ended, obviously, but have a think about, on your computer, or on your phone, what information is held? And if you were to suddenly lose that device now, just now, what would that mean to you? What would you lose? Would you lose photos of loved ones that are no longer with us? You know, would you lose the manuscript you've been working on for 15 years and haven't quite sent to the publisher yet? Would you lose the invoices that show all the people that owe you money and you're now not able to get that money back because you've got no copy of the invoices?
Yeah. And it's a bit like being burgled at home and everybody puts the locks on after they've been burgled. It's really quite a good idea to back up.
And we've all done it. I'm not trying to say it from a point of view of, you know.
No, I'm the same, yeah. But it's a very good reminder, Fancy. They're just... Tell us this particular model as your example.
Yeah, so this particular model, as I say, is called the Crucial X10 Portable SSD. To give you an idea of price, the 1 terabyte, when I looked, was £92.99. And then obviously the price goes up. So for the 8 terabyte, it's £519. Per terabyte, that's actually quite affordable. And if that's the amount of data you need to back up, that's the cost of doing business. It's a bit like, you know, you're willing to pay for the car, but you won't pay the extra for the seatbelts. This should be standard with all purchases, a backup drive, but it's not there. I mean, Apple just excluded the charger on their MacBook Pro, for goodness sake. Can you imagine you spend £1,600 minimum on a laptop and you don't even get a lead-in charger with it anymore. This, you know, when you budget for a piece of tech, budget for the backup drive. Doesn't have to be a Crucial, whatever it is you want to do, but do it, back it up, and just, you know, feel better. And if you're not sure how often to back up, ask yourself the question, how much data are you willing to lose? Are you willing to lose a week's work or a month or 6 months? You know, and that tells you what your backup interval should be.
Absolutely. Fevzi, thank you very much indeed. We're out of time, but we'll talk to you again very soon. You can follow Fevzi on social media at Gadget Detective, and he also appears on the Gadget Detective podcast.